Now, we all broke our hearts when Emergency Ward 10 finished and Dr. Simon Forrester disappeared from the screen. Then there was Dr. Kildare to set the heart aflutter and, of course, George Clooney as Dr. Ross in ER. Saturday nights aren't quite the same since Patrick died in Casualty. And which of us doesn't miss Mr. Mayer, the cold, clever consultant heart surgeon in Holby City, dominating his staff in the operating theatre?
Dr. Kennedy, are the tubes ready to put this boy on bypass?
Almost there.
We'll cannulate the carotid artery, the superior vena cava, before we open the sternum.
I need a bit more length, sir.
Do you think his heart will withstand this?
That is my hope, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Venous cannula in?
Yes.
Heparin okay? Go on bypass, stay warm until I tell you. No, we are using internal suction. This child needs every drop of his blood.
Sorry.
Dr. Kennedy, it's already been a very long night and we're likely to be some time yet. You're feeling tired, so step away, take a break.
No, I'm fine.
You are obviously fatigued and therefore of no use to me. Take a rest. Mr. Adams will cover. Cross-clamp aorta. What's next?
Cardioplegia.
Correct.
So what is it with doctors and the programmes now known as stethoscopes that keeps us hooked? Wendy Perriam is a novelist whose heroine in bed softly falls for her surgeon. George Irving played Mr. Mayer. What is it, George, about Mr. Mayer that was so special? I mean, that sneer was just incredible.
Well, I think when I was told that there was going to be sent some scripts for this new series, I kind of put Mayer within the stereotype of the kind of doctors that we'd all seen before. And when we began to work on the specifics, it became clear that what we were trying to achieve was a character who would start off looking like a bit of a villain, but then would slowly, as the details of his very rare glimpses that we got into his sensitive areas, there was the incident where he thought he had motor neuron disease, for example, that he would take on a more kind of heroic stature. And it's that kind of movement from villain to hero, I suppose, which is the kind of arc that the character took through the program.
Did you ever know what you were talking about?
Yes. I had to say it a lot of times at home to sound as though I'd been saying it for my entire professional life, but you can't really do that parrot fashion. You've got to vaguely understand it, very vaguely.
So, Wendy, what was Mr. Mayer for you? Why was he such a stunner?
Well, he was just wonderful, and I've thought about it, and I think it's something to do with parallels with God. When you think of it, the hospital surgeon has the power of life and death. They cut out our sins. They remove our evil tumours and kidney stones or whatever they are. They're all powerful. They're rather aloof. We often can't approach them directly. We have to go through intermediaries. They see us sort of naked and helpless. There's a submissive, almost a masochistic aspect. We lie down, we let them take off our clothes, cut into us, stop our hearts, start them again. I think they're a sort of combination of God, lover and father. And I've always... My mother was mad for doctors. She had, her GP was rather like Mayer. He was dark and sort of exotic, and she dragged us to the doctor at every possible occasion.
But the suit had something to do with
Mayer? Yes. They're one of the few professions that still wear suits, and usually very smart suits, the pinstripe sort of bit. And I've just recently had an operation, and my surgeon asked me to put my naked foot on his warm pinstripe thigh, and he palpated the toes, and it was incredibly thrilling, you know. And so I put all this into the book. And this...
What difference did the suits make to playing the character?
Oh, quite a lot, I think, because it was a kind of vestment in the way that Wendy's describing. It was also very clear from the beginning that the exoticism of Mayer, in that he is foreign. I mean, I think it would have been more difficult to create a character like Mayer who wasn't, he was Hungarian, as it happens, but it takes him away from a kind of English way of seeing heroes. I think perhaps he was heroic in a way that there aren't very many heroic characters around in our culture. The Americans embrace it perhaps a bit too much. They're kind of male heroic figures. But I mean, I get letters from men as well who say, you know, I think he's been, I mean, medical students who say, well, he's been a real, I became a medical student because I saw Mayer, which I'm delighted by. But the thing that Wendy's saying about rituals, I mean, there, it isn't that far, the operating table, and this became apparent in the very first episode of Halt, but the operating table is very close in some ways to an altar, and Mayer only ever wore a red or a purple operating theatre cap. And it was for those kinds of reasons that we chose those colours, because, although I wouldn't put Mayer in a Christian context, but there was a kind of a ritual going on where these brightly lit area on the body is opened up by the... And the heart. The fact that he's a heart surgeon is also very important because of where the heart... the position that the heart occupies within our culture. And now it's about love. At another time, it was about people think that thinking was done by the heart, and the center of the soul was often thought to be, for a long time, thought to be in the heart. And I think that's very significant.
So it can't work the other way around. I mean, I'm thinking of Laura Stone in Casualty, who's a very beautiful Australian female doctor who's gone through a rough time. Her lover's died and she's killed somebody in self-defence and she's about to go to prison. I wonder if men see these women doctors in the same way as you and I obviously saw Mr.
Well, I've been asking a lot of men this, and not one of them said yes. They all said no, they just saw a doctor as an ordinary person. And I wonder if women, and this is a very unfeminist thing to say, but if there is some sort of submission, you know, all the fairy tales, we sort of submit to men. And I do think, I've created in several of my books these very arrogant men who, in a way, treat women extremely badly. But we know from sort of women's fantasies that have been written about that women seem to be enjoy, thrilled to these fantasies where we're treated badly by very arrogant men.
And yet, you know, I mean, in life, you haven't had entirely professional competence from some of your doctors. Why haven't you lost faith in them?
Well, Jenny, this is absolutely extraordinary. I mean, my experience, I won't go into it, has been pretty awful from a very early age when I had my tonsils out at 4 and it was bungled and I had to have them done again. But right through until recently when I've just been told I could sue. And in fact, there's claims for clinical negligence against the NHS totalling £4.4 billion. And apart from all the modern Dr. Shipman's and so on, going back in history, doctors have behaved appallingly. I mean, they used to give things like heroin as a wonder cure and leeches and all sorts of dread purgings and dreadful things, and yet we still believe in them. And I do feel it's because we want gurus, we want gods. I mean, religion is, you know, weakening in its appeal, and I think we just need to have these god figures.
Did you have any indication on the programme that men found the women doctors as attractive as women obviously find the males?
Yes, I think so. But perhaps for different reasons, not because of the kind of power relationship that exists. I mean, on a kind of lascivious level, they would. Nurses are much more commonly seen in that kind of light by men than female doctors would.
Now, Mr. Mayer's gone, and the nation's women are grieving. But he hasn't died, so might he come back?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's not part of my thinking at the moment, and I'd be surprised if it was part of the program's thinking. I mean, Dennis Lawson's steamed in there like the talented professional that he is, and I hope he enjoys doing it for as long as I did.
And what are you going to do next?
Well, I don't know. I'm alarmingly available at the moment. There are things being talked about and further down the line, and it depends on which of them turns into a good script, I suppose.
Well, George Irving and Wendy Perrin, thank you both very much.